Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Dream Big Podcast with Bob Goff and friends. I'm your co-host, Scott Schimmel. I'm here with Bob Goff.
Hey, everybody. We have kind of a neat podcast for you today. I've been teaching a class at San Quentin Penitentiary for the last year or so.
You're kidding.
And isn't that awesome? And we've been talking to some new friends there. There's quite a few men that come to this class that we teach, and I've actually missed speaking when I say I'm teaching it. I actually go to learn each time, and these men are men that I've come to respect deeply. And so I'm really looking forward to you having a chance to listen in, hear what they have to say. So let's just jump in and meet a couple new friends of mine. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dream Big Podcast. And it's Bob Goff here. And we're actually in San Quentin State Prison with a couple friends of mine. We've spent some time this past year together talking about dreams and ambitions and setbacks and opportunities. And these are all the things that we've been talking about in the other episodes. But I thought I'd let you hear from a couple of the men that have made a big impact in my life this past year. Kevin, will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your...
Hello, everyone. My name is Kevin Ning. Everyone calls me Special K, and the reason why is because I have one of the biggest and brightest smiles at St. Quentin, and they say my smile shines bright like K Jewelry's. Every kiss begins with K.
Come on. Come on. Vincent, who are you?
Oh, my name is Vincent Turner Jr. I'm 27, married with two kids, and I'm just a father, man, just trying to make it better for my kids.
Not just any old father. You want to be an awesome father to these. Yeah, we want to hear more about this during the podcast. We've talked about ambitions, and I know that's one of your big ones. And Brandon, tell us about you.
Kevin forgot to mention that he's the only handsome Asian on the tour committee also.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brandon. That's love. That's joy. You see that?
Goes without saying.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brandon Terrell. I actually have a beautiful wife, Lacey, at home, and three kids, Kinsley, Caden, and Kane. Yes, I'm incarcerated, but I believe our families out there are doing the harder version of the time. For me, I'm just someone to be of service and help anybody any possible way I can. And thank you for coming here today, and I look forward to what we do.
Are you kidding me? This is the highlight of the week for me, to get some spend some time and come to learn from you. And so we're going to talk about this afternoon as you're listening in, whether you're stuck in traffic or at home or doing things, from some of the people that are currently teaching me a ton about love and respect and unity. And so listen in as we talk about those things today. It's so good to think about this in terms of setbacks, because they happen to all of us. The people that are listening, they've experienced some setbacks. Yet you guys have just somehow you're continuing to look towards the horizon. Kevin, you're going to get out really soon. We've been conspiring a little bit because we're getting you paroled into San Diego.
Yes, and yes, praise God.
I think
God.
You're going to be our next employee, which is, that involves some risk for you and some risk for me.
Hey, I got you back. Yeah. I got you back.
But there's something actually really beautiful about that. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Is this going to be your first hiree that's convicted?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
Take that label off, man.
But it won't be my last. That's but one of the things is I see you as the next version of you. And I've been so impressed in all the time we've spent together over these months that this, it's been actually the larger part of a year in hearing your stories, seeing the men that God is turning you into. I feel really confident. It's a little bit unsettling. Are you scared to work for me?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not, because I know my life is divine and God has a plan.
Yeah. And so what do you do when overcoming? You're going to get out, and now you're going to be not dressed in blue, perhaps.
Yes.
That won't be your favorite color anymore.
No.
We'll do it when we come back here to visit our friends,
yeah.
Right? But other than that, you're going to get out. How should people interact with you when they say, so who are you? What's the way that you want to be known? Because I think for each of you, you don't want to say you're the guy that used to be in San Quentin. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, no, I'm Kevin. I'm got a bright future in front of me. I got people who love me.
Kevin,
bring us along.
The shirt thing. What are you going to do? You're going to be with the long sleeve shirt. You're going to be talking. You're not going to tell anybody. that you've been formerly incarcerated, and he's going to start removing the layers.
Thank you. Before, I want to go back to what you said, Bob. It reminds me of something like, you want to help me become the best version of me. I had this saying like, I'm in the process of becoming the best version of myself, but I started to realize that I change every day. I grow more and more. So the Kevin you meet today is not the same one from yesterday, but I'm growing in a positive way, right? And you said something, how would I want the world or people out there to, or how should they receive me? Well, let's remove the word should, because I don't want to place a should on nobody. I just hope and pray that they meet me for who I am today. And what Brandon is talking about was I wanted to come out and be dressed in a suit and give a speech, talk about my life, about my story, without ever revealing I was in San Quentin State Prison. And once I asked them, like, how did y'all feel? Did y'all feel something? Oh, I felt love. I felt hope. Okay, now let's stop. Slowly, I would remove an article of my clothes. I'll take this watch off. And I say, you see this? This is ego. I'll take off my suit or my shirt and say, you see this? This is shame. I'll take off my shirt and I say, you see this shirt? It's guilt. As I started to remove every piece of article on me, not all of them, they'll start to see my tattoos. And it's safe to say that some of you guys may be judging me right now. Like, wow, where these tattoos come from? What is past? Well, I'm here to tell you right now that I stand in the shame and guilt to tell you, yes, I was in San Quentin State Prison. But I'm here to spread a message of love and inspire you to be the best you that you can possibly be. And had I not had my clothes to cover that, you may not have wanted to receive my message. So that's, in a way, that's what kind of Brandon was trying to steer me towards. As far as overcoming, I think just overcoming that, I've been locked up since I was 17. I'm going out at 25 and a half. I'm being an adult for the first time in a brand new city. All I know is you guys, but I'm just trusting the process and just overcoming the distance of being away from my family. But I know they support me because I'm like, once again, I'm living what love looks like. And the reason why I say live love a lot, because I'm living proof that it's possible. I spent a majority part of my life filling up people with hatred. Living in the street, in the gang life, we're telling people like, look, if they wear this color, if they're from this neighborhood, hurt them. And I saw, and I say this in shame and guilt once again, I saw the destruction that my words caused. And I had to really reflect, like, if I had the power to create that, then I have just twice the power to create love instead. So that's what I want to do, and that's my mission.
Yeah, beautiful. What are you going to do? You're going to get out here in a while, and hopefully soon.
Within the next couple years.
Yeah,
sure.
Come on. We're ready for you. So how will you deal with your past, and how will you re-enter and embrace your future? Because I think you, as long as I've known you, you've been a guy that's been forward-looking. You see, you really believe this idea of being a new creation.
Yeah, so for me, like I said, I'm gonna give back in any way possible, right? Miles came in here and he actually, he's the first person I remember, he's like, I'm gonna make sure you have my number. I wanna be the first person you call for work, right? I plan on opening up a rehab when I get out there, and so just, in helping people live the best life possible and gain victory over their life while doing it through sobriety. Alcoholism and drug addiction is real out there. We talk about gun violence and just violence in general, but opioids and alcoholism and all the things that go hand in hand with that, more people die from that right here in this country than anything else. And so I want to be able to try to prevent that in any way possible. And so just getting out and getting, giving back in any way possible.
How are you guys going to deal with feeling misunderstood? There probably is somebody listening right now that doesn't know somebody in prison, and that you're the first exposure. Like, oh my gosh, they're like in prison talking to a man that have been incarcerated for many years. How are you going to deal with being misunderstood? Vincent, when you get out, you're just going to be an awesome dad. You're just going to just crush that. It's going to be so good. Yet, you'll be misunderstood by somebody. They'll say, you know, what's your last job? Where have you been? How are you going to deal with that when you get misunderstood?
I mean, honestly, just the truth. I was at a low point in my life where I didn't have no direction. I didn't want to seek help from anybody. And that's why I'm in prison that's why I'm in prison now. Why I committed a crime. So that gap was time for me to sit down, be away from everybody. Not that I wanted to, but to see where did I go wrong? What happened? What caused me to do what I did? And with that, it's been an educational opportunity. So when I get out of here and somebody asks me, you know, Where have you been? It's been a long time. You know, I was in prison. And I'm not, you know, I'm not scared or ashamed to say that. Yeah. You know, because it's been a wild ride. But, you know, each and every day I get to be around guys like Kevin and Brandon, who's just very passionate about what they do and loving and just continuously show love. So,
among a really long list of things that I respect about the three of you is that you have a unity about you. Mm-hmm. It's just that you want to bring people together. There's going to be a much bigger room full of men later today. The first time that I came here, I didn't know there's like no touching.
And you love to hug, you love to give hugs.
And I'm a hugger. And I'm like, and you guys were just so nice about saying, like, I remember the first time I said, everybody reach out and put your arm around the guy next to you. And it'd be like, oh my gosh. But there's something really about, you were just kind and gracious to me. You just knew that I didn't get how it works. And I feel like that will be among the messages that you'll deliver. It will be so powerful to say, in a really palms up kind of way, to say, hey, let me let you know how it works in maybe a different experience. But the message is still the same for somebody listening. You've got some shame. You've got some stuff behind you. You may not have been sentenced to San Quentin or somewhere else. You may have just sentenced yourself mm-hmm. to a life of sadness or to be have one version of you that everybody knows, and then there's the other version of you that's really going on. And I think one thing that I'm observing is that prison will strip away all the other versions of you. They're just the real you. You can't fake it anymore. And I would say for the person stuck in traffic right now that's listening, to just access the real version of you. What words of encouragement would you have to somebody that's listening? They haven't ever been in jail. They haven't, maybe they've had some things go wrong, but they haven't let people know about that. What about authenticity? What's the power of authenticity in your life? Brandon, what do you think?
I think that yeah, we're incarcerated. We got barbed wire and bars all around us and big tall walls, but there's so many people, as you say, like the people out there in traffic right now, that they're in a prison of themselves mentally. And so for that, like encouraging, like, God created you to be great, and that's a promise, whether you're a believer or not. Like, you're created, like, you've been created to be great. I believe greatness is the next best thing to perfection. Jesus, God, is the only thing perfect in this world, in this universe, and He promised you greatness. So believe in that and trust that there are people out there that love you. There are people out there that care about you. But you have to trust the process.
The real you, the authentic version of you. Like, you could roll that out and some people might not understand, but there's a lot of people that would embrace that.
And don't be afraid to be the real you, because you're just gonna continue to carry on to these anxieties and these fears and these stressors. So just step out, remove the fear, step out and rise above.
I want to hear from you next, Kevin, but I got to tell you, when Mike and I came the last time or a couple times ago, he got to the front gate and he realized that he had forgotten his identification. And so he started running away from the prison. Turns out you can run towards a prison. You can not run away from a prison. It's like, stop.
Wow, that's true.
Yeah. One of the things that, among the things that you have is just a tremendous amount of authenticity, Kevin. Wow, what words would you have to the person that's listening that has this two things going on in their life, the way that they're known and what's really going on?
Wow, okay, great question. I think I want to say that authenticity equates with vulnerability. I believe through vulnerability is the strongest measurement of courage. And being vulnerable doesn't mean that you're crying and all of that. No, it's being able to say, I need help, or I'm hurting, I'm sad, I'm happy. Just share that, because people can relate. All humans have feelings and we're all capable of love. And we talk about authenticity. There's a program here that really fueled me to be the man I am today. It's called Roots, and Roots stands for restoring our original true selves. And in order to really find myself, I had to know my history, know where my family came from, know how I came into existence. And if I want to tell whoever's listening to this in traffic, or whether in the mall or on their cell phone, is that too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a listening ear, a shoulder to lean on, and all of these things have the potential to turn life around. It's the smile. It takes more muscles to frown than to smile. What I find joy in San Quentin State Prison is the sun, sunshine. You probably don't know where I'm going with this, but if you look at the sun is a daily reminder that we too can rise from darkness. So I just encourage each and every one of you to shine a light that's within you, because the world needs to see it.
Beautiful.
The most frequent questions we hear at Dream Big are actually really simple. The questions are this: how do I do it? How do I focus on my ambitions and bring them to life? How do I reorganize everything and move towards these dreams that are inside me? That's what Dream Big is all about. And we want to give you an actual resource that you can use so that you can move from your ideas and your ambitions to reality. So go to the link in the show notes, download a really simple workbook that you can use today.
Vincent, authenticity, what are you going to tell those two terrific kids of yours?
Willpower and having the will to change. I come from poverty, and I've seen the rough of the rough, the bad of the bad. And then this whole experience, I knew that I didn't want to go back to it. So I had to separate myself and really get in deep and internalize, what am I gonna do? And I stepped up and said, I'm gonna change. And that's for me was big, just having the willpower to say, this is who I am. This is, even though I knew everything that, all the beliefs, everything that I seen was wrong, I wanted to experience different. I wanted to take a chance on myself. And just having the willpower to change.
Boy, Brandon, like, get real. Like, Kevin, just authenticity. Brandon, ask for help. You know, Vincent, willpower. I think these are messages that we all need to hear. And the crazy thing is that sometimes we get it so backwards, we're so wrapped up in what we look like that we don't get underneath the surface and talk about what it is. And I'm just so impressed with each of you and all of our conversations. This time at San Quentin has been a great time of reflection to say, who's the man I'm becoming? Certainly I'm in here because I did something wrong. But that's not, you're not over-identifying with that. You're instead saying, like, who's the man I'm turning into? What am I gonna do for those two boys as I raise them, Vincent? Right, what are you gonna do when we start working together? And I think you're just gonna inspire many people. I think you've got a lot of people you're gonna touch, Brandon, because you have some things to say. And you really have the street cred
to say these
things, like you do. Everybody else can talk about what it must feel like to be like, let me just tell you about last Tuesday.
And with that, like, before we go on, it's just, it's sitting with me. To all those listening, like, there's a reason why Vincent, Kevin, and myself are standing in these walls. And for myself, maybe they could speak on it for a moment. I just want to acknowledge the fact that I made a terrible mistake. There's someone, there's a family and a community that are going without someone today because of my actions. And a few weeks ago, there was a football coach that disarmed a guy with a gun, and he gave him a hug and he braced him. Right now, there was consequences that that person had to deal with for taking that gun into the school campus. But that immediately after being disarmed, he was embraced with a hug, which is a touch of love, right? And so I just want to extend the love to Ryan's family and to all those out there that have been hurt in one way or another, right? And just, you know, we love you, and we can't go back on what we've done. But moving forward, we, and I'm speaking for all of us, we are going to do whatever we can to make this world a better place. And if you're, don't be afraid to acknowledge that you're hurting. And so, yeah, I just want to acknowledge the fact that we've made mistakes, but here today, like, we're talking to you today because we've earned the right to give back, because we're putting in the work daily.
What about the role of forgiveness in your life? Do you feel like distant from forgiveness, or do you feel like it's present, even in the most difficult of times?
Forgiveness is a tough topic for me, because as much as I want to be forgiven, I find it it's hard for me to forgive others, especially for the three gentlemen that killed my brother. And I haven't forgiven myself to this day for the shame I have for not being able to protect my brother Vincent. And I love you, you know, I know you're watching over me. I think just for forgiveness is, I come to a place where I can forgive myself, knowing that, you know, I made a choice. And once I forfeit the right to deserve anything, but here is God still loving me. There's nothing that His grace can't give you. And I came to a place where I just forgive myself for all the shame, and I'm making my brother Vincent proud now. And I forgive him, the three men that killed my brother. And I just, and it sparks an interesting argument between me and my family, because half of my family is not forgiving at all. And they know that I did that. But hey, I gotta do it for me. Someone gotta do it. And we gotta turn that tide, because life can be very sad and very depressing if you just stay in shame and hurt and sadness all the time. Let's transform all of that to peace and harmony and love, because that's what we're all in this world to feel, to live, you know?
So there's somebody listening that has something that they're hanging on to. You know, it's a quarrel with a sibling, it's a setback, somebody wronged you in a huge way, really hurtful. So can you not only give forgiveness, but then receive forgiveness? Vincent, do you feel like, how do you interact with forgiveness?
So how I interact with forgiveness is, for a long time, up until last year, I blamed my mother on the way that I turned out.
Really, why is it that you blamed her?
I blamed her because she didn't, once my father came to prison, she pushed the connection that we were supposed to have as father-son out. She closed all the ties to him being in prison. So I had no kind of communication, no letter, no gifts, no phone calls of ever talking to my father when he was in prison. Something that I needed, that nurture that I didn't get. So last year, my mom came and visited me, and we sat down and we had a deep conversation just on about our history, our family history. You know, my grandmother, and then it kind of got awkward for a while, and I just brought it up, you know, with my father being in prison. You know, there was nothing. You cut him off, something that I needed. I needed my father in my life.
Even though he was difficult to have that conversation with her?
It was. You know, my mom's stubborn, I'm stubborn. So she kind of shined a light on it. She kind of pushed it away because she didn't really want to talk about it. And I'm like, you know, this is something that we really need to talk about. It'll be closure for me.
It sounds like it took a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah, you know, with a lot of these self-help groups in this prison and throughout, you know, the prisons in CDC are, it helped me, you know, to muster up the courage to do that. And once we had that conversation, it was good and it was closure for both of us. You know, we sat there, we cried, and it was something that was needed for the both of us.
Is your father still alive?
Yes, my father is still alive.
Is he still incarcerated?
No, he's not incarcerated no more. He currently lives in Berkeley.
Are you in contact with him?
Yes.
Really? I can see why your desire to be a really great dad. Sometimes do you think that arises from some of the things that you really wanted that you didn't get? So if you're listening, you're stuck in traffic, sometimes you can prescribe yourself. You'll know this thing that you really wanted the most and it wasn't provided to you. And so you said, I'm gonna actually rise above this. I'm gonna be that dad that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, I'm telling you, it's just such an honor to be with you guys and learning. And any closing thoughts you wanna share with anybody? I've come here, haven't ever taught you anything. I'm your student.
Hopefully you teach us tonight something.
Yeah, come on. Well, we meet, for those listening, we meet, we'll have a gathering of people, we'll do some of the Dream Big curriculum. We're gonna be talking about limiting beliefs and what were some of the limiting beliefs that you were either raised around or talked into or just assumed along the way that you'd have to raise yourself without a dad. That it's all on you. And say like, wow, like I think you've actually challenged that and said, no, actually I get to be a beautiful reaction to that. I'm gonna be an awesome dad to those two young boys.
Absolutely.
So any closing thoughts for anybody? I'm just so delighted to be with you guys.
Yeah, I got something to say. First of all, Bob, I never thought I would say this, but Bob Goff, I disagree with you. I believe you came here and you taught us way more than I can put into words. And the biggest lesson I can take away is this. You taught us how to become love and give that love away. And that God doesn't just send us messages, he sends us people. And that's a big lesson that we always talk about when you're not here. So I just want to give you that credit. And if I could say something to all the people that is listening, I want to piggyback what Brandon said. Like, yes, we're in St. Quentin State Prison. We're not a prisoner, we're a human being. And this is such a blessing, opportunity to have this podcast and speak and have this dialogue, because this is the kind of conversations that need to take place if we want to build a more peaceful and loving world. But we also made a choice to come here. So for whoever that has experienced hurt in their life, or you're a survivor of some crime, or you're a survivor of harm, on behalf of me, Brandon, and Vincent, and fellow men in blue that's doing the work, we want to say that we're sorry. To the survivors, to the warriors, to the conquerors, we want to let you know that whatever has happened to you, you are not to blame. You are worthy, you are capable of love, you are special, and you are loved, and we support you in your journey of healing. That's all I wanted to say for you.
So good. That's why I keep coming back here to learn from you guys. Thank you, guys. Thanks for making the time to spend. This isn't a thing that you have to do. We've been talking on the phone for quite a while. I look forward to when my phone rings and caller ID comes up and it's a 415 area code, says San Rafael. I'm like, my people.
They got my back, street cred.
Which is so good.
And those phone calls, you know, like sometimes we're like, Bob's a busy guy, are we gonna bother him? But you coming in here, and then when we do get, I think we're batting 500 right now with phone calls. You've missed about half of them and you picked up half of them, so we're batting 500. That's good average, right?
That's not bad for being on a plane three times a day.
No. But when we walk down that ramp, like, it's like, man, you bring us joy, and that's the one thing that I want to encourage. He touched on it, but I had a conversation with the wife a while back, and as tonight when I leave here, I'm going to go tell her and share everything that happened. And, like, we have over 3,000 volunteers like yourself coming and saying, I don't think anything quite like you, right? But in San Quentin every year, right, annually. And they fill us up, right? They bring joy and hope, especially hope. And the average person out there, they don't experience that, right? Like, you can walk through the grocery store, go throughout your whole day, and unless you're going to church on Sunday or to a group that, like, you're really going to be filled up with, like, you don't get joy, and, you know? And so, like, for those people that are having a tough day, like, keep pushing forward. You're great. You're excellent. And we all love you.
Beautiful. Well, you guys, we're signing off from San Quentin, and I hope you've enjoyed this time on the podcast. I know for me, I learn a ton by having the conversations with people that they have life experiences completely different than mine. And these are some of them. What I've learned is not to just surround myself with people where their lives and their life experience feels like mine, but men and women alike that have different life experiences. And so I hope there was something that you heard and that pinged you and that you will write down. And then just go engage that. Spend a little bit of time. Say, how can I relate to that? And then know that there's a whole bunch of men and women that would love to hear from you in our jail systems, that they would just getting a note from you, having you visit, if that's within your bandwidth, would just make all the difference. And I'll tell you this, you will not be their teacher, you will be their student, and even better, you'll become their friend.